righty. Lots happening, especially in the world of Donald Trump. Grand jury meeting yesterday. Should be making a decision regarding possible arrest. The former president thinks it's imminent. Here to discuss, Jason Molica. He was one of the pioneers. He brought Fox Radio to the airwaves way back in 2002. Does great public relations work currently over at the great American University in the nation's capital. Mr. Molica, nice enough to give us a couple of minutes. Here on a Tuesday morning, it is great to have you, sir. Everything okay?
Everything's good, Jay. Good to talk with you.
Lots happening, my friend. I'll tell you, it's getting a little intense as far as the likes of Trump and everything going on with the grand jury and Alvin Bragg and Costello and Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels. And my goodness. Anybody else we want to throw into the mix here? But it's all coming to a head the next couple of days. Give me an assessment of what you think as far as everything going down here. Misdemeanor / felony, statute of limitations. My goodness. All in the salad bowl this morning. Go ahead.
It is absolutely. It's like, you know, the old wrestling term. It's like a battle royale. You know, it's like you've got all of these things going on in the ring at once. And you're trying to figure out what's the topic or what's the one thing that's going to come out on top and be the ultimate champion in a sense here. And you know, in a lot of ways, you know, we look at this and obviously this is serious. I mean, anytime there's an indictment, you know, hanging over a prominent figure, in this case, you know, the former president, you know, there's a lot to weigh in on here. You know, in looking at this, you have Trump, who obviously over the weekend, you know, sent up some signals, thinking, you know, basically saying, there's something, something's coming, and to, you know, make sure we, you know, defend what's going on. You have that sort of being a rallying cry for Trump supporters, and that basically him, you know, basically saying that they should be, you know, defend him. And that when he says defend him, he's meaning, you know, in a sense, taking up arms. So there are people on Truth Social that are taking that very seriously and willing to. They're speaking about how, you know, what they're going to do if people start showing up to Mar-a-Lago to arrest the former president. Then you have, you know, Ron DeSantis, who, you know, weighed in backhandedly the other day, you know, and saying that, you know, basically while, you know, the things that are going on against the president are, you know, done by someone who is backed by George Soros. You know, he did then, you know, kind of slap the president in a way, and that rankled the MAGA sort of side of the GOP, and that got people ticked off at DeSantis. But overall here, what really the most important part of it is that, you know, the former president faces indictment, and there it could be tomorrow, it could be next week. There are going to be people that are getting ready to, you know, bring the former president in. He will, you know, it appears he will be indicted, though obviously that still isn't, you know, for sure, even though there are many pundits that are saying he will be, and it appears that he will be. You know, it has to happen first. And until he is, in a sense, arrested or it goes through all the legalities of it, you know, then when he is, you know, we have that walk, whether they show him being let out in handcuffs or whether it's done in a more private setting, you can see that New York City obviously is preparing. And, you know, I'm sure even the White House was asked how they may be preparing for it. So this is something that is not just about hush money payments and whether he did or did not. It has a bigger effect on politics in Washington and, in a sense, the United States in general.
The effects it could have on the 2024 election, although it could backfire when you think about it, because this is an obvious move as far as the Manhattan DA is concerned, Jason. You know, this is a guy who's so against sending people to jail or prison that he ignores, you know, a lot of the laws to avoid it. You know, a law intended to protect, you know, a lot of people, first responders in particular and whatnot, in specific cases, going back to a case with a nurse that happened a month ago or so in New York. But in essence, and it's a whole nother side situation. But in essence, this is a move that could have ramifications as far as a backfire is concerned, because it could only accentuate those of supporters of Donald Trump as far as streamlining towards the 2024 election, although he is facing some serious stuff, possibly in Georgia, regarding the election, as far as overturning it, possibility there, is possibilities regarding January 6th. And, of course, the documents and the Mar-a-Lago raid, those are other serious deals involving Trump. But this is something that could certainly backfire on those who support this imminent arrest.
It could. And, I think in a lot of ways, the perception of the president from those that strongly support him, regardless, will always see him as the person that is, not at fault. He is a person that is, he will be defended to the hilt by his strong supporters. And there will always be those that feel that he has been wronged every step of the way. I think what we need to look at, too, here, though, is that while this could backfire in some way, I think in many cases right now, especially in reading a lot of the point by point of what's been going on, whether it's from, a right-leaning side, a left-leaning side, I think overall what we're seeing in a sense is that, what Trump has done here, the hush money stuff, the bottom line may be small potatoes, in the grand scheme of things. But it is a serious issue, and it is something that will, to be perfectly clear, it's a bad look for the former president. And what will get even worse is what the rumblings in Georgia. There's a second recording of Trump trying to convince a high-ranking Georgia official to overturn the results of the 2020 election. That is something that, if obviously very true, could be even worse for the president. But I think in this case, with the indictment, it's not only a bad thing for him and his prospects for 2024, it's bad for his prospects just as a citizen in general. Yes, he's the former president. Yes, he's a prominent figure regardless, even before he was president. But this situation continues to get worse for the president. And it doesn't make his prospects for even having a shot at the White House in 2024, even if he is running, like he says, I don't think it's something where he is going to be able to, he may run, he may continue to run, he may still be on the ballot, however it fleshes out, but it does affect from the perspective of the GOP, it does affect their prospects moving forward, because if he stays on the ballot, even as if he's indicted and arrested, his looming shadow could still affect Ron DeSantis, even though DeSantis hasn't said he is running yet. It could affect, in the sense that any of these sort of Trump candidates, how do you say you will support a president that has been indicted and has shown that will continue to, fight for something that he knows he's wrong with? So I think at the end of the day, when we look at all of this, it's, yes, it could backfire and it could end up, bolstering the president, the former president, in a lot of ways. But I think in the bigger picture is, I think that is a, now we see whether, even though the president the former president still has a lot of supporters, I think in this stretch here where we're looking at is his support has waned in some sense, that he isn't, even though he says he's the presumptive favorite, there are going to be others that even, in a lot of ways, DeSantis could be a favorite if he gets in. But then there are still others that are out there. Nikki Haley's out there. That's not to say she's going to win, but there are other Republican candidates out there that could end up, bypassing the former president, even if he does have strong support from the sort of MAGA base that he has.
DeSantis making some comments yesterday, as I stated on this program. It's like a catch-22, Jason, where I don't think Trump could take Biden out in 2024. Listen, he lost by 6 million votes. I don't think. Now, DeSantis, I think, can. You know, and that's where it becomes very tricky right now as far as Republican primary is concerned. You know, can Trump take out DeSantis? You know, that's the key. Can DeSantis take out Joe Biden? I say yes. Can Trump take out Joe Biden? I say no. So it becomes very tricky. And, of course, DeSantis, you know, putting a couple of comments yesterday, and really, you know, we're just waiting for the official word. We know he's going to run. I mean, he's not in Iowa to talk about his book tour and everything else. He's putting the word out about himself. He's putting the word out about how he has governed Florida as a free state, in essence. So, you know, there's a lot of play going on here, a lot of back and forth maneuvering, jockeying for position, and the games have begun in earnest.
And it also remains to be seen how DeSantis, will he continue to sort of backhandedly address Trump, or will he step up and, in a sense, show the differences between himself and the former president? Now, again, I can understand why he doesn't necessarily want to be caught in the, you know, kind of push and pull of this whole thing. But on the other hand, at some point, if he wants to become the president, if he wants to be the favorite, if he wants to be the one that the GOP is going to hitch their wagon to here for 2024, he is going to have to in some way either say that I am, you know, he doesn't want to alienate all of the base, at least those that are sort of the pseudo-Trump or the full Trump supporters. The full Trump supporters, I don't think, will get behind DeSantis because he is going up against the former president. He's not sort of kowtowing to saying that, oh, we should just assume that Trump will be the person to go up against if it's Biden as the, you know, obviously the Democratic nominee. Ron DeSantis has to make sure that he is carving out his own way of doing things, which he has done in Florida, clearly, but he's also done it with a lot of the help of being the candidate that's sort of within the Trump mold. Again, Trump is clearly not a fan of DeSantis. He continues to, you know, rip into him, and even supporters of Trump yesterday were, you know, very highly critical of DeSantis for not supporting Trump and, you know, basically going against him and saying, you know, oh, how dare he not support him? They shouldn't be, he shouldn't be going up against Trump. He should be supporting him at this time, or he should be showing Trump's respect or showing respect to Trump. And I think in a lot of ways that could be in itself an issue, because if you have Trump and DeSantis going up against each other, yes, you're right, Jay, as far as I don't think, you know, DeSantis is in Iowa just to hang out and tell stories and watch some basketball or take in some, some other things that are going on there and peddle his book. You know, he's there to obviously gauge and gain interest and gain support for a bid for 2024. And if that is the case, and if he is going to run, or whether it's, you know, it's not a matter of if, it's just when now, how is he going to make sure that he distinguishes himself? Because if he can't sort of get that Trump side of the party on his into his sort of bag, you know, he's going to have a tough time, winning the nomination, because there are obviously, it's very clear that the Trump base still has a very strong opinion and very strong pull. Even though there are those that are Republican that don't support the former president and may not support Ron DeSantis, there's still a heavy part of the base that is looking for their candidate. And if it's not going to be Trump, and if they're not going to back DeSantis, how are they going to have a unified front in trying to go up against, if it is Biden in 2024?
Jason Molica with us. If you're looking for an arrest today of some sort, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think it'll happen. At the earliest, I think it'll be next week. if at all. But in essence, you know, a lot in play here. Misdemeanor slash felony. There has to be some sort of maneuvering of campaign funds to get that into another arena, right, Jason? Basically into the felony side of things. And, of course, there is a statute of limitations involved of 2 years. It's now been what? It's been since 2016, nearly 7 years since this whole thing transpired there. So there's a lot of legal maneuvers happening in play here as far as if they can actually cement something on the former president, you know? And that's why it becomes very, very tricky with all the testimony, the grand jury and everything else. Robert Costello represented Michael Cohen, who is a convicted liar in himself, did some time and everything else. I mean, it's like a soap opera. That's what it's really coming down to. It's like a soap opera. So we'll keep an eye on things. Now, we're keeping an eye also on Xi Jinping holding talks with Vladimir Putin in Moscow, day two here. Meanwhile, you know, you got an interesting caveat here. It's not being played a lot in the news regarding the Japanese prime minister who is heading to Kyiv for an expected meeting with Zelensky there. So you got a lot of stuff going on here. You know, it's about peace talks, according to Xi, as far as what they're putting out there. We know that Russia needs aid, needs the weapons and everything else to fight off Ukraine. We're obviously getting the weapons from the United States, tanks, the Abrams tanks. Also, the F-16s now can be in play from Poland. So there is a lot happening on the international stage as well, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and I think the meeting between the leaders of, you know, obviously with Russia and China, you know, it does highlight are the tensions that we are having with China when, you know, not that it was unexpected that she was going to be going to meet with Putin. That was known. I think, though, you know, when you have Japan and the Ukraine leaders meeting, that puts a, and you're right, it hasn't gotten a lot of, you know, coverage. But I think that shows the difference between what's been going on in the world right now, especially when it comes to Russia. Russia and China, while China isn't, and Russia aren't necessarily isolated, and there's, you know, we're not shutting everyone out, you know, in the sense from the U.S., I would say. But it does show how the two countries are, I don't say isolating themselves, but they're not putting themselves in the perspective of, look, we want to work with the rest of the world. China has become more and more of a nation that is more or less saying, look, we know the strength that we have and we're going to exert it in a lot of ways. Russia is getting, even though they are showing strength by trying to continue the fight with the Ukraine, they're weakened because of that battle. And they need the support. They need people they need countries that will back them and show that they will be, you know, they can still be strong and they are still, in a quote unquote, respected in the world. However, when you have two nations that are getting together for a summit and are basically, in a lot of ways, on the outside looking in from the rest of the world, it's not necessarily a good look. And yes, the Biden administration should, not that they are going to be caught, they were caught off guard or anything like that, but I think it does show just how far things have fallen between the U.S. and China. I think at this point, while I think the relationship between Biden and Xi is a good one in the sense of, you know, I don't think they're going to, you know, argue over dinner in a sense, but I also think that the diplomatic relations are not in the place where they should be or they should ever be, you know, and with all due respect, that's on China. You know, China has put themselves in this position. They have been increasingly more stubborn on the world stage. They have been increasingly more aligned with how Russia has been doing things. And I think that in itself is an issue for the United States, but it's not something that can be overcome. I think in the sense, China, at least I believe, would be more amenable to working with the United States than Putin and Russia would be in working with the U.S. because Putin is at a stage here where he is just defiant. He is just going to continue to battle the world and in a sense, continue to fight in Ukraine because that's what he believes is correct. And he'll continue to shove that down the throat of people in his own people, in his own nation, and those that will listen worldwide. With China, at least, there is an option there for the U.S. to work together again in some ways. However, unless China shows their willingness to sort of acquiesce to certain things that the U.S. needs or the world stage needs, they're going to continue to put themselves in a position where, look, we want to be able to, you know, to work with you. We want to be able to have, you know, diplomatic relations. But if it's going to continue to go down this path where they align themselves with Russia and continue to show signs that they want to be more like Russia in a way, I think we're just going to see more conflict and more, as they say, it's going to become more than just rubbing your knuckles on sandpaper. It's going to be more of a, you know, more of a bruising battle than it would be in the past.
You know, lastly, and we only got a couple of minutes with Jason Mollig here. Sure. I noticed a couple of things with Biden, who did something with the crime bill, signed a Republican-sponsored bill to block the controversial update to the nation's capital's criminal code, would have lowered max penalties, folks, for certain violent crimes, including carjackings. Interesting there. And, of course, the other thing was in his first veto of his first bill, it blocked a Republican-led effort to restrict pension funds from making investment decisions based on factors such as climate change. So, in essence, you know, you kind of look at maybe the president doing a little both sides of the fence yesterday regarding some legislation and, of course, the GOP involvement on that. Interesting there. Again, didn't get a lot of press with all that's going on, but certainly something of importance here.
Yeah, I will say that in the D.C. area here, President Biden overturning the D.C. crime bill got a lot of play, obviously, and it, you know, didn't make people in his own party, you know, some of those in the progressive part of his party very happy. However, I think if you look at it from that perspective, I would say, yes, nationwide, it may not be a big deal for a lot of people. It may not be a big deal for someone that lives in, you know, Idaho. But it is a big deal for those that are in the D.C. area because, you know, D.C. obviously has wanted to become a state. And obviously, you know, it's the Democratic Party usually has support for D.C., what it does here. If you think about it, though, I think the White House, what they're trying to do is they're trying to navigate these sort of politically charged issues of, you know, the crime. And I think it's also a little bit of trying to counter, you know, what the Republican messaging has been and that Democrats are soft on crime. So, yeah, I like how you put it as far as kind of playing both sides. You have the issue with the, you know, the criticism over the, you know, the pipeline, where the president moved that forward, and that angered some people, but it kind of made people on the Republican side happy. And then you had people that in Biden's party that were unhappy about him, overturning the D.C. crime bill. But I also think it shows that, you know, the president is going to do certain things that, you know, every president does things that are unpopular with their own party. And They also do things clearly that are unpopular with the, you know, not the party that they're not, that president isn't part of. I think that's the one thing that has been lost in the last number of years is where instead of focusing on the real issues that are going on, like crime and in a sense, I say climate change, but I also, you know, when we talk about that, it's the sense of when we're talking about drilling and how it affects the environment, things along those lines. Those are issues that are real. And again, not saying that things on the world stage are not, but I think we've seen here how the president governs in this sense is if he doesn't like something or if he doesn't feel it's a good move or if he thinks it would be more beneficial for the country, he'll move forward. It may not be popular, but, he's going to do what's best at the moment for the country. Is it always going to be, is it going to be a perfect move? Will that pipeline be something that is a mistake, or will it be a good thing environmentally or bad thing environmentally? You know, clearly there's plenty of research that may show it's bad, but we won't know that for decades, most likely. And we won't know, and I think a lot of people, as much as they like to see in the area D.C. become a state, I think it has been made abundantly clear over the years that there are a large number of people in Congress that don't feel that D.C. needs to be a state. It doesn't need to be the 51st state. It's a district for a reason. And, you know, will it become a state one day? Maybe it will. It may not be in our lifetimes, but I don't think it's going to be happening in the next year or two. So I think, you know, in the rejecting of that crime bill it was a surprise, I think, for many. But I think it also comes, you see how Biden worded it and what he had said. And I think you can see why he wasn't in support of making that wasn't in support of that bill from the start.
Because, you know, you look at how these councils kind of govern themselves. You know, you look at New York, which is, you know, deadly in a lot of instances of the way they pass certain legislation or reject stuff that makes common sense. Same thing in D.C. They attempted, the council, to withdraw the bill from congressional consideration early in the month, you know, amid the signs that it'll be overturned. But, you know, thank goodness, you know, you have this Home Rule Act, which governs the district, doesn't allow for the withdrawal of legislation. And it proved to be essential in that regard. We'll talk more about this next time, sir. Always great having you. Great stuff on the plate today. And we'll keep an eye on things. We look forward to the next time.
Same here, Jay. Thanks again.
Appreciate it all. The great Jason Molica, pioneer back in the day. Fox News Radio, and of course, does a great job.